वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 14, Text Number 24. The Forest of Enjoyment. This also is a prose verse, so I'll just read it.
Muktastato yadi bhandat devadatta upaschenati tasmarapi vishnumitra ityanuvastitihi.
Please repeat. Mukta, liberated. Tata, from that. Yadi, if. Bandat, from the government imprisonment. Or being beaten by the protector of the women. I'm sorry, of the woman.
Devadatta,
person named Devadatta.
Upaschanati,
takes the money from him.
Tasmat,
from the person named Devadatta.
Api,
again.
Vishnumitra,
a person named Vishnumitra.
Iti,
thus.
Anavastiti,
the riches do not stay in one place, but pass from one hand to another. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Stealing or cheating another person out of his money, the conditioned soul somehow or other keeps it in his possession and escapes punishment. Then another man named Devadatta cheats him and takes the money away. Similarly, another man named Vishnumitra steals the money from Devadatta and takes it away. In any case, the money does not stay in one place. It passes from one hand to another. Ultimately, no one can enjoy the money, and it remains the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Riches come from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and the goddess of fortune is the property of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The goddess of fortune cannot stay anywhere but by the side of Narayan. Therefore, another of her names is Chanchala, restless. She cannot be peaceful unless she is in the company of her husband, Narayan. For example, Lakshmi was carried away by the materialistic Ravan. Ravana kidnapped Sita, the goddess of fortune belonging to Lord Ram. As a result, Ravan's entire family, opulence, and kingdom were smashed. And Sita, the goddess of fortune, was recovered from his clutches and reunited with Lord Ram. Thus, all property, riches, and wealth belong to Krishna. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 5:29, Bhoktaram Jagya Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the true beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. And He is the supreme proprietor of all the planetary systems. Foolish materialistic people collect money and steal from other thieves, but they cannot keep it. In any case, it must be spent. One person cheats another, and another person cheats someone else. Therefore, the best way to possess Lakshmi is to keep her by the side of Narayan. This is the point of the Krishna consciousness movement. We worship Lakshmi Radharani along with Narayan Krishna. We collect money from various sources, but that money does not belong to anyone but Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. If money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, the devotee automatically lives in an opulent way. However, if one wants to enjoy Lakshmi the way Ravana did, he will be vanquished by the laws of nature, and whatever few possessions he has will be taken away. Finally, death will take everything away, and death is the representative of Krishna.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshumalitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Gum Guru Deva Chalam Pangam Langayate Girim Vipidamaham Vande Sri Gurum Dina Tarunam.
I'll read the verse one more time because it's such a very nice verse. Stealing or cheating another person out of his money, the conditioned soul somehow or other keeps it in his possession and escapes punishment. Then another man named Devadatta cheats him and takes the money away. Similarly, another man named Vishnumitra steals the money from Devadatta and takes it away. In any case, the money does not stay in one place. It passes from one hand to another. Ultimately, no one can enjoy the money, and it remains the property of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here is a very nice instruction Srila Prabhupada is giving. Also, of course, I believe it's Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikit in this section. And the description is that if wealth is not properly utilized, then it doesn't stay. As the description is given here, Srila Prabhupada gives the name of Chanchala, meaning that Lakshmi is restless when she's not in the association of her husband, which is also very instructive, that a pious woman is restless if she's not protected. What to speak of husband and wife goes without saying, that if the protection is not there, then the wife or the woman in society becomes very restless. And we know what the end result is. We're seeing it practically in our society, that because the women are not protected properly, there's so many problems in society. Most of all, they're taken advantage of. And on the plea of, or with the gimmick of joking words, sweet words, look into your eyes, actions, it leads to all sorts of problems. They even now have, and I have to confess, I was watching this one particular show where some guy picks out some woman out of a bunch of women to be his soulmate, whatever they call it. And I was listening to some of the exchanges that were going on between this fella and the assorted women. You know, at different points he would meet privately, personally with one, and you know, there were 10 or 15. And the exchanges were so ridiculous, so foolish, as if one can one thinks that in this miserable body you can find this kind of enjoyment this true love or whatever name they put on it. And on the pretense, again, of this so-called love, which really the only motive is lust. If the lust doesn't, if it hasn't agitated my lustful desire, then you're not my soulmate. And on the pretense of this lust, society goes on. People are just associating so whimsically, even so-called spiritual people, in spiritual movements. They're engaging in frivolous and degraded associations. It causes so many problems. Ultimately, it means destruction, as Srila Prabhupada describes here. It's like in the case of Ravan. Ravan was also very opulent, and he was very intelligent as well. He was very scholarly, understood Vedic philosophy quite well. But his one problem was that he chose to enjoy Lakshmi, to take Sita away from Lord Ram. And the end result, well, that's okay. Thank you. The end result is that Ravan, his kingdom was destroyed. And this is the fortune of those who engage in such actions, that eventually they'll fall down from their spiritual positions, they'll eventually fall down from their opulent positions, and become degraded. And before long, anything goes. It doesn't matter. There's really no standard. And as a result, society is ruined. So in the verse here specifically, Shukadeva Goswami is describing how such persons, they engage in stealing and cheating. Stealing and cheating activities. Asankshita kriya hina rajasatama sabrita. In the 12th canto Bhagavatam is described, Shukadeva Goswami predicts how in the future society, including the leaders, will be full of such cheaters, covered over by the motive ignorance. They'll engage in all sorts of sinful activities like stealing and cheating. Already, the propensity is there in the conditioned soul. We already have that propensity to cheat. So when you add to it, when you give the opportunity to such persons, you give them the facility to engage in it, it becomes even worse. Society becomes even more hellish. So such persons, they engage in stealing and cheating another person out of his money. And some or other keeps it in his possession by stealing and cheating, by lying. Isn't it just like they're very expert now? So many persons are very expert at hiding their wealth. They may send it off overseas, or they may put it into some sort of dubious account, investment. But ultimately, it's taken by your accountant, by your wife, or your whatever. Ultimately, it's lost. And the reason is, as Prabhupada explains here, that Lakshmi Devi, this wealth, it comes from Lakshmi. It doesn't come from any other source. And when she's not respected, and when she's not protected, she becomes restless. She wants to be in the association of her husband. And when that's not there, then, there's all sorts of problems. The solution is given here by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, where he quotes this wonderful verse from the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvalok Maheshwaram. Krishna is the beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities. We engage in all sorts of work daily throughout our lives. And Krishna is the beneficiary of those works. It's not that, today I'm going to enjoy, today this is for me. And tomorrow, if there's anything left over, I'll share it. Actually, Krishna is the beneficiary of all these austerities and works that one may perform. And he's the enjoyer of them. That Krishna is meant to, just like the devotees, they work very hard in serving the deity, serving the temple, serving the Vaishnavas. These are all meant to be as an offering to Krishna. It's not that we're doing them so that we can derive some benefit outside of advancing in spiritual life. And to also recognize, as Prabhupada points out here, Sarvalok Maheshwaram, that he's the proprietor. He's the supreme proprietor. But also, more than anything, Krishna is the supreme friend. This is one of the unique characteristics of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is that he's attractive to all living beings, that he's a friend to all living beings. And friends don't cheat. Real friends don't cheat. Of course, in the material world, under the guise of friendship, people are developing so many relationships or agreements, etc. Really, the intent is to cheat. In the conditioned state, you can't do anything but that. But as the verse explains, that Krishna is the supreme friend of all living beings. He's the well-wisher of all living entities. And where can you find such a person? That is the unique characteristic of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That he's a friend of all living beings. But, again, foolish people, they engage in all sorts of illegal means to enjoy in this material world. Illegal meaning that they don't follow the instructions of the Personality of Godhead. They have no interest in taking his authority. But if one even just slightly exhibits this propensity to enjoy in this material world, there's a very nice comment that Srila Prabhupada makes in this, in the pastime of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chota Haridas, where Srila Prabhupada states that if one, I think he's paraphrasing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the instruction was that if one even looks with the propensity of trying to enjoy that one is in, that one is condemned. It's such a fine line, as the verse explains. Utista, what is that? Jagrata, prapyavana nibodhata. You know, the life is spiritual life is like a razor's edge. Is that right? Shurasya dara nishita durataya durgam patastat kavayovaran. That it's such a fine line that if one is not careful, that at any moment one can make a mistake, cause so many problems for oneself and for everyone else. It's such a fine line. So wealth should be utilized properly. There are so many instructions given in Prabhupada gives in the Bhagavad Gita, where he explains how householders, particularly they're required to give charity, that happiness is not guaranteed by wealth. There's so many wonderful little one-liners that Srila Prabhupada gives. Ultimately, those who want to enjoy within this material world their fruits, their end result is suffering. In reading this verse, I was wondering or thinking that real wealth is not some material thing. Srila Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita that real wealth is spiritual knowledge. Because it's by that spiritual knowledge that directs one, or spiritual knowledge, it culminates in a devotional service. And Krishna also explains that in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where he explains, etam vibhutim yogam cha, that if one truly understands the opulence and mystic power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that one will engage in devotional service. And by that devotional service, we understand one is liberated from this material world. So real wealth is not these material things, although if the Lord is kind enough to give them to us, we use them in his service. But real wealth means spiritual knowledge, understanding that we're not these material bodies, that we're meant to be engaged in devotional service. That's the end result. One recognizes how Krishna is the most opulent, the supremely opulent, and it's by his mystic power that these things go on, or anything goes on within this world. And when one is factually convinced of this, then one engages in that devotional service without a doubt. Another point that Srila Prabhupada makes in here is that if money is utilized in the service of Lakshmi Narayan, the devotee automatically lives in an opulent way. And we can see practically that when one is engaged properly in Krishna's devotional service, that there's no worry for our maintenance. There's no anxiety. that Krishna provides. Prabhupada gives the example so many times that there are millions of elephants in Africa. He says like this, millions of elephants, and they're being taken care of. So what to speak of Krishna's devotee? So if it's utilized properly in the service of the Lord, then automatically one lives in an opulent way. Everything is there. One's sleeping, one's eating, one's recreation, and what to speak of protection. Krishna is always protecting. So all of these things are taken care of if it's properly utilized in the service of the Lord. And even if that condition is not opulent in the materialistic sense, the devotee is very satisfied. Narayana paraksarve nakutaschana vidyati. That even if we're put into a so-called materially disadvantageous position, the facility may not be as much as we'd like, still the devotee is satisfied knowing that Krishna is there and he's protecting. However, if one wants to enjoy Lakshmi the way Ravan did, he will be vanquished by the laws of nature. Ultimately, of course, that means death. Mrityu sarvaras jaham. Krishna is coming here for those who don't want to accept his authority. He's coming in the form of death. And for those who come into this world who are not engaged in devotional service, jatasya hi jivomitya jurvam janamitasya cha, again, they have to go through this repetition. So, bottom line is that if whatever we may provide, whatever facility we may be given by the Supreme Lord, if it's used properly, then we'll make spiritual advancement, great advancement, even materially. Again, we can see that practically in Krishna consciousness, that when the facility that Krishna has provided is used in his service properly, it flourishes. On the other hand, if it's used for mismanaged, then it becomes very difficult. It becomes a great struggle. Finally, ultimately, Srila Prabhupada points out here, no one can enjoy because it actually belongs to the personality of Godhead. So this is a very nice instruction given by Sukadeva Goswami, pointing out how those who are engaged in material life, their business is simply stealing and cheating. And no one benefits by that, least of all persons who are engaged in such activities. So, and are there any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
But then we decide instead to use our abilities to acquire the Lakshmi for Krishna's service, then do we transcend beyond being that rascal?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Thank you.
Stop being a rascal. Yeah, if we just use whatever propensity Krishna has given us in his service, then there's it's all good. Architabu.
There's a caveat, though. It doesn't mean that you become a Robin Hood. You know, that you figure Lakshmi belongs to Krishna and all these rascals have Lakshmi. Let me just go out at night and take their stuff. And no, we don't do that because that creates a disturbance in society. But whatever comes your way naturally, whether by inheritance or hard work or whatever you should give, use as far as possible in Krishna service.
You were talking about in the beginning of the class about, so to say, looking for true love.
Yeah.
I can see, kind of from the Karmi's point of view, that they're so to say looking for maybe a compatible mate, and they don't maybe know about how to do that except finding a person that they're very attracted to. They're looking for happiness too. As devotees, though, sometimes we paint a very dark picture that there can be no happiness in family life. At the same time, a lot of devotees feel the desire to get married, to do these things, and they want to find a person, so to say, that they can at least attempt to create some type of a compatible situation, a nice situation to raise Krishna conscious children. I guess how important is that for us as devotees to try to partner that we can cooperate with, or do we just not matter at all?
No, it matters certainly. If somebody has that inclination, best to find someone who you can perform your devotional service in a very productive way with. Yeah, that's proper. Unfortunately, I don't think our record is very good in this area. So many people, they go into the Grihastha ashram and maybe with the wrong motive, I guess I would have to say, with the wrong motive, and it doesn't last on one or the other side. You know, it's hard to say, but best if you have that inclination, you find and you make a serious you seriously look into it and see how it's going to benefit your devotional life. It's not that you risk your own neck, so to speak. Just to out of mercy or something like that, some mercy idea, I'm going to help this person in their devotional life, and not really, that's not the proper attitude. All that indicates is that you're more attached than you admit. But you go into it with the mentality that I'm needing some help in my devotional life, and I need to find someone who's going to be that help. And you keep Krishna in the center. That's the idea. Not that we go into it again with some other idea, because all that is that's being a cheater. Again, that's being a cheater, just like this verse. It describes stealing and cheating. That's a business of cheaters. If you're not really truthful, then you're just cheating. not only cheating the other person, you're cheating yourself, and you're cheating Krishna consciousness. You're setting a bad example. Otherwise, don't go into it.
So we should see Krishna as our soulmate?
Yes.
Krishna is our soulmate.
Yeah, Krishna is our real soulmate. Any other questions, comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Oh, sorry. Yes?
I think Srila Prabhupada, by his example, he showed how husband and wife combined together can become very powerful. He wrote one letter to Guru Das and said, husband is there, wife is there, and when they are combined together, then they are double the strength, double the force. So in our movement, where Bhaktisiddhanta sent disciples to India, to England, they were unsuccessful. And Prabhupada's household of couples were extremely successful in pushing on Krishna consciousness. So Guru Das and his wife, Jamuna, and Shama Sundar, and Malati, and Mukunda and Janaki, they were successful beyond belief, just getting in contact with George Harrison. And these were all household of couples. So if you find a wife and she's not Krishna conscious, then it is like a witch. But if you find a woman who is Krishna conscious, then you are married to the goddess of fortune. Christians, like, the Christians themselves have proven that their whole mission is husband and wife. They don't even think of missionary activities without husband and wife. So everyone is not going to be sannyasi, but it does not mean their whole movement is husband and wife preaching together. So if one has that desire, he simply has to find someone who's willing to preach, but there is without question. Husband and wife together, then it is Lakshmi and Narayan.
Yeah, no doubt.
Your wife becomes a goddess of fortune by in helping you to preach Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, no doubt. They're a perfect. Also, we have to make sure that we don't become Ravanas on the man side. There's plenty of Ravanas too. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.